And we just appreciate them, the opportunity the Lord gives us. Well, we want to welcome everyone here this morning. We are glad that you're here. We appreciate the opportunity this morning to go to the Lord and worship and His Word. How many know His Word's important? It's valuable to our lives. We need it. So we're in this series, been in this series for quite some time now. We'll continue to be in this for quite some time. Understanding the words of Jesus. Understanding the words of Jesus. That's the series we're in. If you look up here, you can tell what section we're on. We're in Matthew, the fifth chapter. And we just got started in this for the last few Sundays. And we're dealing with the Beatitudes. And we're on the first one here. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Very important. Now, it's going to take some time. I told you this early on. It'll take a couple years for us to get through this series. Just because the things that Jesus said are important. Yes. Now, if anybody in our life that we're going to look up to as Christians, professed believers, it ought to be our rabbi. Amen. It ought to be Yeshua HaMashiach. That's how it would be said. We ought to listen to him. Whatever he said ought to be first priority in our life. Matter of fact, we should make sure that we match what everyone else says to what he says. And he said some important things in our life. I believe that every church in the world should take some time to pause from our sermons and just take some time and dive in to the words that Jesus spoke. They're that important. I hope that you have seen already, as we have discussed this poor in spirit for the last several weeks, I told you that this would be almost like a series within a series. Because there's some things that Jesus said that are incredible. And we need to pause a little bit and reflect on it. He declared that the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Think about that. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. He also declared that the things that he said, these are not my words. Now, he didn't mean that he wasn't the speaker. What he meant was he was getting his information from someone else. And he described that someone else as his father. How incredible is that? He described that someone else as his father. And so when we got to this particular part last night, in the service last night, I just backed up a few chapters, and we looked at Elihu. How incredible Elihu's message was when he heard that Eliphaz and Bildad and Zohar had given their description of what was going on in the life of Job. And Job gave his description. And when they got finished speaking, Elihu makes mention that the reason he didn't give his opinion is because he knew that they were older than him. And he said, days should be the one that teaches wisdom. Those who have been through this, they've been through some things. So he said, I kept my mouth shut and I refrained from speaking. But once he heard what they said, he had no choice. He said, I'm like wine that has been bottled up with no vent. I'm about to burst here. Because he knew he had to come forth. And if you've never took time to study the message that Elihu preached, I encourage you to do so. It's absolutely incredible. So we said, we taught on that last night. If you want to get the tape, you can get that and listen to And again, this is not by any means covering everything. We have a certain amount of time to get through it. We're going to give you the high points, but you take time. Don't just take what I'm saying today. You take time. You're responsible for your life. You take time and you dig into it. You get passionate about the word. It's got to mean something to you. And when you get passionate about it, God will reveal himself to you. I said this to you last night. My job today is not to reveal God to you. It's not my job, because it's impossible for me to do that. Only God can reveal himself to you in his word. It's got to make sense. It's got to become real to you. And you got to lay aside all doubts and fears, whatever it may be. And you got to embrace when God shares himself with you. And this is what the case was when we look at Job's life. So how do we get to Job? Job is the oldest book in the Bible. It's put where it is for whatever reason, when it was put in the canon and so forth. But I want you to understand, it's the oldest book in the scripture. And Job was a person who needed to learn how to be poor in spirit. He couldn't get it. And there was a lot of things that he went through in his life. And he gave his say, and Elihu reprimanded him, got on to him pretty good about the things that he said, the things that Eliphaz said, and Bildad and Zohar said. All of them had their own speech. And Elihu speaks. Now, when he speaks, I want you to understand, there's only one. Now, it's Elihu's opinion, because he used that word. He uses, it's his opinion. Now, the only one that can make what Elihu said to be legitimate would be the Most High. Now, we find that as we read on and later on in this message, that God had an issue with what Eliphaz said, what Bildad said and Zohar said, but he doesn't mention Elihu. There's a reason. Because what he said, God, it was his opinion, but God, because he said nothing to correct him, we have to take that to be serious word. How many understand that? And you remember what he said, Elihu? He said, be careful when you hear, because the ear is like the mouth. It wants to taste the meat. It's called, you can have selective hearing when you're in a service. You can come here and say, well, I'm going to just see what this is about. He said, be careful. Be careful, because the ear will be like the mouth. It wants to taste it first. So when God, he's talking about God speaks, you got to be ready. Because what happens immediately after Elihu speaks? And then we get the word from Yahweh. Amen? Well, let's look at it together. We want to take some time to... It's going to keep doing it. It did it last night. Just go on and follow along with me. I'll give you where we at here. Let's see. Go to slide 808. Usually I can control it, but last night it kept doing the same thing, so we're not going to chance it this morning. The words of Yahweh to Job, and then Job's response to Yahweh. So we're going to look at that. Hopefully we get through it all. It's 38, chapter 38 through 42. Who knows on that? Only God knows that, but we'll go as fast as we can and cover as much as we can on this. Now, remember, poor in spirit. Everybody look up here. Poor in spirit. Now, I want you to see, you cannot get to the end of this course that's set before us. And it's a course that you don't get options in. This is not options. Well, I don't want to do that. Let the preacher do that. Let the teacher do that, but I don't want to do it. This is you. There's no, you don't get an option here. Poor in spirit is an obligation that we have to make sure that we fulfill. It's the first thing. Jesus sits on the mountain. He's relaxed. The disciples gathered around him in the crowd. There's a multitude of people. And he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, he takes you from our posture before God, what it needs to be like, and what you get when you do it right. Quickly. In one small statement, he takes you what our posture should be and what you get for doing that. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. How many want what what you gain out of it? See, we all want what we gain, but are we willing to do what it takes to do that? Because remember, after all, in this same message, and in the same message, he says, the one who hears these sayings of mine, I liken him unto a wise man who builds his house on the rock. Remember that. What do we got to do? We got to hear these sayings, and we got to make sure that we're careful to do them. In James, it says, be not hearers only. Be not hearers only, but doers of the word. Amen. That's the way it takes effect in your life. So poor in spirit, remember, I described the best I could describe it as when we would travel in, all over in different countries. And when we was in Nepal, there's people there that are beggars. They're legitimate beggars. And a beggar can't get it needs outside source in order for survival. I think I'll just be a beggar today. It's not that. It's legitimate. They have need of something. We have to see ourselves in that same position. If you take you, no matter how well you dress you up, no matter how many years you've been in church, it doesn't make a difference. If God is subtracted from your life, the end result is complete, utter chaos. You understand that? Because it's because of him that theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's because it's us recognizing who we are when we stand next to God. Who are we when we stand next to God? Well, we can't say, well, I'm the preacher. I've been preaching for over 30 years. You know, I've wrote this paper. That can we say those things? What did Isaiah say? Woe is me. When he was in the presence of God. And let me tell you, Isaiah was no slouch. But when he got next to God, he couldn't help himself. We got to quit comparing ourselves to others and compare ourselves to God. And when we do that, what does it produce? Poor in spirit. That's what it produces. Remember, why do I need that? Because this is the launch pad. If you're going to go anywhere, you're going to go from here. I don't mind being merciful. You know, people's been good to me. I want to be good to them. We don't mind these. You can't get there until you've launched from here. You can't have selective religious style. You can't just go over here and pick the one that you're good at unless you launch from poor in spirit. Once you do that, what carries you to mourn is momentum. It's the momentum. I'm trying to get to each ring, and if I try to just reach to the ring without momentum, it's just out of my reach. But the momentum carries me through. So when you're poor in spirit, you'll mourn over your sin. I was talking to Pastor Josh this morning. I can't wait till we get here, because this is one of the things we lack in the church world today. Nobody wants to discover how we have to repent over our sins. We got to mourn over them. But poor in spirit leads to mourning, which leads to meekness, which leads to hunger and thirst after righteousness. See, this is one of our goals right here. We want the whole church. Come on, get a passion. Show up on the Bible study night. Show up on the midweeks. Show up on these services. We want to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Well, you can't just teach this as a standalone. You got to go back over here. And maybe you saw folks who was doing this and they were right here. And one time in their life, they were passionate about God. They were swinging. I mean, their momentum was good. And then all of a sudden it crashed. Remember what I said, you hang on this for too long, I don't care how strong you are, how spiritual you are, how much Holy Spirit you got, you're going to fall. What do you do? Well, you can't just get here and start jumping up for the ring again, because that's what we all want. You don't get to jump up for the ring. If you fell, remember from whence thou art fallen, and come back over here and launch again. That's the process that every person may go through in their lifetime over and over again. Well, what we have here in this case of Job is he's being processed. He's got all this stuff and it's all taken away. And Satan's got his hand on his life and he's got he's sick in his body. His family's gone. His wife's against him. Everything's happening. His three friends show up and they give their take on it. And then before you know it, Job's sharing, opening his mouth. He's saying things and he's talking about how good he is. And I told Pastor Josh, I said, let me tell you. I was telling this to Brother Herman the other night in Bible study. Job was the poster child for how to be a Christian. If you look at his life, this guy was the man. He did everything that you would want a believer to do. And finally, with them talking to each other, he said, I'm going to make my case. And he did. The whole time, God is looking at this, saying, he's going to get it anytime. Anytime he's going to get it, and he never did. So, if you don't get it, what has to happen? God will send what? He'll send a preacher. He sent Elihu. And then if that doesn't work, what does he do? He goes himself. Now, if you won't hear God, you won't hear anybody. If you won't hear God and obey God, you won't hear anybody. So we have to make sure that we consider this. As believers, this is no joke. If we want to serve God, commit our life to him, we have to make sure that we listen to him. So understanding the words of Jesus is very important to the believer. Very important. So I want to take you on this journey here in Job 38. We'll start there and we'll take on and some things I highlighted. And if you don't have your Bibles, you can look up overhead. I have most of these listed here. And I highlighted some areas I want to focus on. Or just bring out. Then Yahweh answered Job out of a whirlwind and said, notice this, he's going to answer him. Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Now, what was God's take on Job's words? They were with what? Without knowledge. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee and answer thou me. Now, I want you to notice that there's a demand. Now, up to this point, we know that Elihu addressed the group, which was Eliphaz, Bildad, Zohar, and Job was sitting there. There may have been other people there, but we don't have that given to us. But a council had been formed, basically, and they were trying to figure out, how can this righteous man go through everything he's going through? What's going on? So Elihu directs stuff to the group. Then he directs stuff directly to Job. Who do you think Yahweh is speaking to when he says what he says? He says, Job. Notice he's directing it. Then he tells him what to do. Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Think about that. Now, I kind of went and highlighted these different questions. I think I counted 40 questions in just this one chapter. And the answers are all no, okay? So just so you know, they're all rhetorical questions. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Nowhere. You weren't even born. You understand? He's trying to get him to understand that there's a clear distinction between the Most High and what he created, which is man. Amen. And we can't forget that. Now, sometimes we get our church going. We get our sermons. I mean, we work on them so hard that they're fine. And we forget that. We forget that we have missed something here. And somehow, instead of us scaling up to God, we want to scale God down to us. That's a terrible place to be in. Because somehow we think we can teach God something. I want to ask you this question. What can man teach God? That's very important. We should be ever learning. There's always something that we can learn from God. But once we get saved, once people feel like they become spiritual beings and we're operating in the spirit and all these things, it's a dangerous place to be when you think you've become something when you're not. The Bible says it's what? Deceiving yourself. We have to be very careful that we don't get there. Job, by his own admission, said, I made a covenant with my eyes that I wouldn't look at another woman, and if I do, may my own wife grind another man. I mean, he just come out and said it. He said, I was feet to the lame, eyes to the blind. He put his case out there. He did a lot of great things. I'm talking about your poster child for being a Christian. He was. Yet he forgot how to be poor in spirit. He forgot to stand next to the Most High and see him for who he is. Very important for us to understand. Declare thou if thou hast understanding. Who had laid the measure thereof if thou knowest? He's talking about the earth now. We have something that he's talking about. We know he's talking about the earth. It's design. Who laid the measure thereof? Or who had stretched the line upon it? How many like to see that tape measure? Think about it. You know, we're limited in our capacity to measure things. But God's talking about who did these things? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Whereupon are the foundations fastened? Then all these questions that God asked, they're important questions, because if they're not done, we don't exist. Do you understand that? This is how deep he's going. We're not here. It doesn't balance out. It doesn't work. It's got to be exactly like he designed it. Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? Remember, the cornerstone is always something from which you measure. Remember that. The cornerstone is that which you measure from. Who else is called the cornerstone? The chief cornerstone. You understand? It's not measuring you to man. It's not measuring you to your neighbor. It's not measuring you to the preacher. It's not measuring you to your church. We don't measure by that. We have something that we measure from. So he's pointing this out. He says, where did I take those measurements from? Let me go through this. The morning stars sang together, and all the sons of Elohim shouted for joy. He's going on. He's talking about the angelic host. All these are eyewitnesses of the wonderful creation as it was being done. They're witnessing this. Or who shut up the sea with the door, with doors, when it broke forth as if it had issued out of the womb? Think about that. When I made the clouds, the garment thereof, and thick darkness, a swaddling band for it. It's amazing stuff. He's continuing his questions. And break up it for my decree, decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no farther, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Think about that. Who did those things? Who put the seas in their spot and said, you can't go no further? You got to stay where you are. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days and caused the day spring to know its place? Who gives command to the morning? What type of morning it's going to be? Think about it. That it may take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it. It is turned as clay to the seal. I looked at that, and it's so important because he says it's turned as clay to the seal. It's all there. Remember, I talked about this before. All of it's there, but somebody's got to put the design to it. It's one thing to have the material. Now, I gave this example. You go to Lowe's or Home Depot and you get you a pile of wood, and you can go in there and you can say, you know, I need the wood for this project. Matter of fact, they sell some projects. Say it's a shed, a small shed for your lawnmower. And you go out, and so they give you all the materials you need for it. And there it sits in the stack, and you put it in your yard, and somebody comes over and they say, well, what's that for? Well, that's my shed. They're going to look at you, so, okay. It doesn't look like a shed. It looks like a stack of lumber. But everything in there, if you put it together, it becomes what? It becomes your shed. Well, he's saying here, I had it all there. I created it all. And he said, then it's laid there, and it was waiting for me to stamp my seal in it to give it design. It was waiting for me to do that. He said it is turned as clay to the seal. It's turned as clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment. And from the wicked, their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken. Hast thou entered into the spring of the sea? The spring of the sea is not what we see. See, we see the oceans, and we live on the, in the water all the time, this area. I mean, you go that way, there's water. You go that way, there's water. You go every direction, you don't have much of land traveling, you'll be in the water. That's what we see. But he said, hast thou entered the springs of the sea? What's the thing feeding it? What's the thing feeding it? What about the salt springs and the freshwater springs? Do you see those things? Isn't that amazing? So he's just letting Job's listening to him. And we have the Most High just on display. Or hast thou walked in the search of the depth? Think about it. Have the gates of death been open unto thee? The gates of death been open unto thee? Or hast thou seen the door of the shadow of death? This is the Most High. Now, we're talking about listening to the words, understanding the words of Jesus. And he makes this statement, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And here we have God. He's given a description of things that man needs to think about before we speak. Before we say what we want to say, think about these things. So he's talking about death. Verse 18, hast thou perceived the breath of the earth? Declare if thou know it all. Now, I often thought about that statement there, because Job sort of sounded like he knew a lot of things. But he said, declare it if you know it. Where is the way where light dwelleth? And as far darkness, where is the place thereof? Where's the place of darkness? That thou shouldest take it to the bond thereof, and that thou shouldest know the path to the house thereof. Knowest thou it because thou wast then born? Were you born then? Or because the number of thy days is great? Do you know these things? Hast thou entered into the treasures of snow? Or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? Listen, we're talking about God, the Most High. He's got his hands in everything. But we don't see that. We don't see that. Some of the things we see is what we really focus on a lot of times is whatever's not happening in our life, whatever we're not getting, somehow that's God's responsibility. But we fail to see how many things he's involved in. He's constantly involved in everything that's going on that has to do with man. Now, I want you to understand, he didn't create all this for himself. Do you understand that? He did not create all of this for himself. He created it for man. He does these things for man. He's responsible to make sure he's doing what he's supposed to do for man. And sometimes in man's life, you go through trouble. But we have to ask ourselves, when we're in the trouble, how is that God's fault? How is it that we think maybe God's not fulfilling all of his promises? When you have those thoughts, you don't see yourself as that beggar that absolutely needs God in order to exist. Think about that. What would your life be if God was subtracted from you right now? Explain your life to me. What would your life be like? I hope today we get a picture of how important the Most High is to our life. How important God is to every one of us. If you took all of God out of you right now, what would your life look like? Would you still exist? Think about that. Then I can't even, for the life of me, understand how is it we can get sideways with the Most High. If you got trouble, we don't need to look to him for that trouble. We need to understand that we have to realize outside of him intervening for us, that's exactly what our life's going to look like. And it won't take long, it'll be gone. Remember some of the things Job said. He said, I wish that the legs would have never opened wide or the mouth hit the breast. I wish I would have died. He even described death in the womb. This guy was hurting. And the reason he was hurting, he was only focused on what he was going through. When he stood next to God, it changed his life. It changed everything about him. By what way is the light parted which scattered the east wind upon the earth? And I encourage you to take some time. We don't have the time to look at each one of these, but these are legitimate questions that was asked by the Most High. And he said, I demand an answer. Who had divided the water course for the overflowing of waters or a way for the lightning of thunder or to cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, on the wilderness wherein there is no man, to satisfy the desolate, the waste ground, to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth? Who did these things? Let me just say this while it comes to me. You know, there's been more attention given. It elevates the person's heartbeat when somebody starts to, they can maybe reach back in history and read a quote from someone who's famous. And here I am, been for the last 15, 20 minutes of the opening of this, I've been quoting the Most High. Yes. I'd be at the edge of my seat. I wouldn't be distracted at all. And I'd say, you know what? This is the Most High asking questions of man, and we got to put ourselves in Job's position. Am I ready to hear these questions? Am I really ready, or somehow can I answer them? Think about that. We get some person that comes and they're going to speak, and we take their words to be the most incredible thing we've ever heard, yet we have in our hand, day after day, the very things that God said. Yes. And here is a direct, these are direct words of God. These are direct words. He's saying this to Job. Think about that. When I was going over this, I said, Lord, these are important things. And if he's saying them, how important are they? Well, I wouldn't have brought that up or that up, but he's bringing them up. This is not, well, let's skip down this a little bit. Let's get to the punchline. We want to get Job's blessings back. That's what the church is always focused on. We focused on it so much. We got him blessed. He's the man. Satan comes and how Satan attacks him and he hangs in there. And we kind of brush over what the friends say, and we miss Elihu completely. Hence my question, who's Elihu? We don't even know that guy. He preached a message and God never corrected a thing he said. I think he's a little important. Not one word did God correct that Elihu said. Think about this. We just want to skirt on through. We want to brush over what God's saying. And man, we can't wait to get him double for his trouble. That's what we're looking for. We want to get Job double for his trouble. Well, that, you know, listen, his trouble is not what gave him double. Do you understand that? And I've preached that, and I've heard many people preach that. It wasn't his trouble that gave him double. It was the fact he learned how to be poor in spirit. Amen. He recognized when he stood next to God, he was nothing. That's right. And he recognized that he needed the ransom that Elihu spoke about. He needed that. I found a ransom. He needed that. Don't waste the ransom. If it wouldn't be for Christ in our life, we wouldn't even have the... Listen, because right before you can be poor in spirit, there's the cross. Yes. Do you understand that? It's your access to finally show God what your life's going to be like. First of all, Lord, when I look at you, and what your word says, I've had the best example anyone can ever have in your son. He did everything you asked of him without complaining. And at the end of his life, the one thing he had in mind was to make sure everybody knew who the father was. Then you get your chance to do it. And when you get your chance, you recognize who you are in front of God. You come to mourn and you mourn over your sin like you never have before. You can't figure out why did I do these things. It was wrong. It never was right. It wasn't because somebody made me do it. It wasn't because the church hurt me. It wasn't because my neighbor was mean. I did these things because of me. This is who I am without Christ. I'm a failure. I'll never make it. And then once I see who God is, I need to mourn over my sins and weep bitterly that he's inviting me in, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Yes. Is this helping anybody? Amen. Then you move on. But you got to first recognize that. And so we have all this bottled up in Job. You got to go back. I encourage you, take some time and go listen to the message Elihu preached. It's incredible. Hath the reign a father. Think about that. Hath the reign a father. Or who have begotten the drops of dew. Notice these terms he's using. He's using terms that without the father, you don't have them. Hath the reign a father. What's the father known? It's about him producing that. And he goes on and helps us if we lose that. Or who hath begotten the drops of dew? Begotten. Where's the genesis of these things? Where do they come from? Amen. This is the focus that we should focus on when we're reading this. Out of whose womb came the ice? You notice this is all about the producing, he's bringing these things into existence. They didn't exist. He brought them into existence, produced by the Father. Should be something. Listen, when you read this, it ought to. Every time I highlighted a verse, I was like, God, this stuff is amazing. I thank you for opening my eyes. I didn't even see this. I had no idea. This is not. I had no idea until God. Because you listen. Nobody can reveal him to you except for himself. Amen. Let God reveal himself to you today. And the horrid frost of heaven, who had gendered it? Do you notice these words? Rains has a father, the drops of dew is begotten, the womb produces ice, the horrid frost is gendered. All of these are very important words. The waters are hid as it were a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Canst thou bind the sweet influence of Pleiades? Think about it. He's talking about this. Now he's going to talk about the heavenlies. He's going to talk about the stars and how he set all of that in place. And this is the Most High. And let me tell you, I'm going to show you where the church goes wrong. Canst thou bind the sweet influence of Pleiades or loose the bands of Orion? Think about that question. Then he gives this next question. Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season? This one right here, a failure to even look at it. How many years ago, it's not so much anymore, but it's still around. But years ago, it was pretty prevalent. And it had to do with horoscopes reading. How many are familiar? And you know, the churches stand against it and all these things and the stars. And so we're getting away from that. Yet God says, who do you think brought these things forth? But the world's taking it, use it for their twist, spin it, twist it, bring it into the realm of satanic symbols and all sorts of things. And the church just backs up, and that's fine. We don't do that. Yet God says, I brought forth Maseroth in his season. Who here doesn't want the stuff that God's bring forth? You see, these are the little things. You say, man, this is really tippy-toeing through it. Listen, I'm telling you, the little things is what destroys a lot of people. Listen, we ought to embrace the fact that this God that put these things, Satan will take everything God's ever done and use it for his own glory. But does that mean it's not God's glory? Do you understand that? We got the church ought to be in a position that we stand up and we do what God asks us to do, and we start giving glory to God, the glory he deserves. Remember the whole statement. When you look into my glory, you will be instantly changed. That was the prophecy. When you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. It's all about God's glory. Or canst thou, God, a talkerest with his son? Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Canst thou set the dominions thereof in the earth? So he's going through all of these things. He's covering it well, and we should pay attention to these things. Canst thou lift up thy voice to the clouds, that abundance of water may cover thee? Canst thou send lightning, that they may go and say unto thee, here we are? He commands that. He commands the lightning. Or who had put wisdom in the inward parts? Think about this. Who had put wisdom in the inward parts? Or who had given understanding to the heart? You know, once man is created, there was a lot of things he had to do with man. When I'm going to breathe the Ruach HaKodesh, when the breath is going to enter in, he takes dust from the ground. Now, the material stuff he gathered from the ground, with the minerals and all that we're made up of. Dust we are, dust we return. It's just, that's what it is. You don't have to do anything. It just does it. But there's things that make that stuff that he gathered together have life and be viable, thought, have feelings, all these things. It's all in the breath. The breath is coming. And he asked this question, who had put wisdom in the inward parts? Notice that. Who had put wisdom in the inward parts? Or who had given understanding to the heart? When God put the Ruach HaKodesh in our life, it wasn't just so we can be animated. When you were animated, you was able to love. You was able to care. Yes. You understand that? You was able to act like God. If you were going to be anywhere, when he put Ruach HaKodesh in you, you represented him well. The animals wanted to hang out with you. I think it's in Job, it says when a man, when he's struggling on the inside, even his animals know it. That's why we got to have a change in our disposition and how we react. That's when Christ comes in, it does change, or it should change us. If I was an angry person before I experienced this, and here I go in religion and church saying, oh, you're doing good, brother. And you're over here, and you're swinging along, and you get right here. If you was an angry person before, this is going to tell if you're still angry. Because they're going to hurt you. They're going to say things about you. They're going to lie about you. It's just going to happen when you're dealing with human and human interaction. It happens. Whether you're in church, out of church, on the job, it doesn't matter. You're going to have a chance to be merciful. You're going to get your chance for this. And the longer you hold on to that ring and say, and debate mercy, debate whether you want to do it. You just don't know how bad they hurt me. She hurt me. He hurt me. They hurt me. We could do that, but you'll get your chance. And if you was angry before, you can always tell if Christ did anything in your life. Because the moment you get here, you'll have no problem. Because I'm not going to do what I did before. I was hateful before. If I'm still hateful, I would question whether or not you really had an encounter with Christ. So you always gauge yourself that way. If you was a thief before you got saved and you're still thieving, you got to question whether or not you even got saved. Do you understand my point? This is a question that you have to ask yourself. If you was an idolater before you got saved and you got saved and you going to church and you still an idolater, there might be a little problem there. Do you understand that? Well, you just don't know. I got caught up. I can tell you what you're getting caught up in. Not other people. You're getting caught up with yourself. You got to go back. When you get caught up with yourself, when you look at your life and you say, I can't do nothing wrong. And you know, to me, I ain't doing nothing wrong. The way I see it, I'm not doing anything wrong. Do you see a lot of problems? Let me tell you, the only way you're going to really see is if you come back here. And put yourself, sometimes, just give yourself a day. And shove yourself back and line yourself up with the Most High God and you'll really see where your condition is. Do you understand that? You'll really see it. That's what we need to do. We have to make sure we're taking that time to do that. So he's talking about the inward parts of man. Who can number the clouds in wisdom? Or who can stay the bottles of heaven? When the dust groweth unto the hardness, and it clod and cleaves fast together. And you know, to me, this one, you really, what is it? Why does he talk about that? But just think about it. Who put the right minerals together that you can take dust and it grows together, it groweth into hardness, and the clods cleave fast together? Who makes it all stick together? Think about that. Wilt thou hunt the prey for the lion or fill the appetite of the young lion when they crouch in their dens and abide in the covert to lie in wait? Who provided for the raven in his food? When his young ones cry unto El, they wonder for lack of meat. He's just covering all these things. Sometimes you look at him and it's like, so the ravens is a bird, you know, they do what they do and so forth. And we just kind of brush it off. That's what it is. Birds take care of birds, but we don't see it. There's somebody. There's somebody who's tending to everything in the world. Everything in the world. You know, sometimes we get really tunnel vision, and it's only about what's going on in our little world. We don't realize that right now, as we speak, there's a lot of stuff going on around the world. There's a lot of things that are unsettled. Who's tending to all this stuff? Job 39, knowest thou the time when the wild goat of the rock bringeth forth? Knowest thou when the wild goat of the rock bringeth forth? He's talking about now animals and how they give birth. How that all works. Or canst thou mark when the hinds do calf? Now, this is to me, nothing to do with me. He's trying to get man to understand that this stuff don't just happen. He's wanting us to see how important it is. They don't just happen. How do they know these things? How do they know when it's time? You understand? He wants us to understand that there's more to life and everything going on than just man. And God has got a lot that he's taken care of. He takes care of everything. Canst thou number the months that they fulfill? He's talking about the length of the pregnancy of these animals. Or knowest thou the time when they bring forth? You see this? They bow themselves. They bring forth their young ones. They cast out their sorrows. All of that is a process by the creative hand of God. Do you understand that? He put all that together. It's not evolution. It's not you got something that just figured its way along the way and that all happened. We're talking about the hand of God. Do you understand that? It makes me look at, you know, especially when he's speaking to me, I ought to listen. And he told Job, gird up thy loins like a man and listen to me. Don't sit slouched with your pants halfway down. Pick up your britches, tighten your belt. I'm about to talk to you. Sometimes we need to get, if you ever want to hear a word from God, if you say, well, I'm seeking a word from the Lord, I'm seeking, you think it's going to be a fuzzy feeling, the hair's going to pop up on your neck, and he could do any kind of way he wants. But sometimes, you know what we got to do? We got to go back and read this. We got to cinch up our belt real tight. Don't look like you're defeated. Get up. Get your belt right. Get ready. We're about to move on, and God will give us a word through his word. Sometimes we just got to let ourselves know, you're not all that. You're just not. Job, you know what I get out of this? Job, you're not that special. But when I get in your life, you're special to me. Adam was special. He was special to God, but sin came. He lost that relationship that he had. So God had to bring another Adam. How many thank God for the second Adam? And he's special to God. And he remains special to God because everything God asked him to do, he did it. If you look at his life, he was put in these positions just like Job was put in. And he was in the garden. He wept bitterly. And he said, God, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will. It's not about me right now, but your will be done in my life. Because when I look at my life and your life, when I look at the comparison, I realize if I need you every second in my life. So he went down, and the whole time, what did he do? Poor in spirit. He recognized that his need for God. See yourself next to him. It changed your life forever. The next verse. Their young ones are in good liking. They grow up with corn. They go forth and return not unto them. Think about that. He's just telling us this is stuff that you think just happens and don't. I designed it that way. Listen, down to the cellular level. Can you imagine the cells in the human bodies? I designed every one of them. Every one of them know how to duplicate. They know exactly how to keep man living. He said, I designed all that. Even, and we're not talking about, what about the animal world? He designed every bit of it. He said, I did that. Who has set out the wild donkey free? Or who has loosened the bands of the wild donkey? Whose house I have made the wilderness and the barren land his dwelling? Not, you know, who cares? I don't keep wild donkeys. Who cares about wild donkeys? Let me tell you, God does. Do you understand that? Well, it's not my profession. I care about the fish, though. I live in the fishing village. I care about the fish, but I don't care about that. But God has to care about everything. Do you understand? He scorned the multitude of the cities, neither regarded he the cry of the driver. The range of the mountains is his pasture, and he searches after every green thing. He's talking about the wild donkey. Verse 9, will the unicorn be willing to serve thee or abide by thy crib? This one really gets people, you know, especially, and I can't understand this. I really can't. Learned scholars today, you know, we just want to settle every issue for the church. We want to look like we know everything. We're going to settle it all. So we're not going to go into stuff, you know, let's just simplify everything. Let's see. We're just going to simplify it. We'll just call it, you know, we don't know what he's talking about here. He talked about it. Will the unicorn be willing to serve thee or abide by thy crib? He's talking about one of the animals he created, and he says, will he be willing to serve you? He serves me. Will he eat at your trough? He eats at mine. Do you understand? We want to really make it. And then it goes on. It gets into some very thoughtful things. You can take some time, look it up. We live in an information highway of sorts. You can look it up. He's, you know, more than likely he's speaking of a Arctis or something like that. It's like a wild bull that's extinct now. It's a wild bull. I think the last one was in the 1600s. So it's not going back a long time. But this thing was as big as an elephant. A bull. He said, can he serve you? Will you? Well, might be why they're extinct. They wouldn't do what you say. But God says they'll do what I say. The whole point he's making, you can't make them do, but I can. They don't serve you, but they serve me. They don't eat at your trough, but they eat at my trough. Can thou bind the unicorn with his bands and his furrows? He's continuing down his same question. Or will he harrow the valley after thee? Will thou trust him because his strength is great? Or will thou leave thy labors to him? Will thou believe him that he will bring home thy seed and gather it unto thy barns? He's saying, whatever I tell this one to do, he does. But you can't do anything with him but kill him. Now, this is, why is that important? Because you say, well, how do we know they kill him? Because they're extinct. But there's some that we're going to talk about in a little bit that you can't kill. And that's something, I might not get to it today. Probably not. Gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacock? So he goes on. How many has ever seen a beautiful peacock? How many has ever seen a big white peacock? They're just solid white. It's beautiful. You know, and I'll look at these and I'm going, what in the world does that bird need all them big old long feathers for? You think they got to get in the way, not to the peacock. Because it's only in his glory when it spreads its feathers. It's in his glory. It's God's design. And he said, gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacock, or the wings and feathers unto the ostrich, which, and he goes on and talks about the ostrich, which leaves her eggs in the earth and warms them in the dust, and forgetteth that the foot may crush them, or the wild beast may break them. She is hardened against her young ones. Talking about the ostrich here. Now, this is the Most High. He goes into some length here about an ostrich. You know, an ostrich, you know, if you're going through some trouble, if you're struggling, if you're sick, you got bad news from the doctor, you know what you say? Who cares about an ostrich? I don't care about no ostrich. I'm hurting right now. But God cares. Why you don't want to care? Why you don't? Somebody's got to care. He cared. He's trying to show you there's a clear distinction and a big difference between who God is and who we are. She's hardened against her young ones as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without fear. She drops her eggs. They're just sitting out there and opening. How many ever seen an ostrich nest? An ostrich nest, not an eagle's nest. Ostrich. They don't do a very good job at building nests. They just spew them out on the ground and walk off. You know, no telling what will come by. That's what he's saying. Think about it. Because Eloah hath deprived her of wisdom. You know why she don't do it? She don't know to do it. Others know to do it. You ever seen a osprey nest? We got many of them down here, all over the place. Ospreys. It's a fish eagle. They take time and they build these huge nests. And then the bald eagle, we have plenty of those. And you can see their nests. It takes a lot of time, a lot of care. And they got to weave all that stuff in. And how do they know that? Because they have wisdom to do it. Who gave that to them? God. But he says to the ostrich, I didn't give her that. Neither hath he imparted unto her understanding. What time she lifted up herself on high, she scorned the horse and his rider. We don't have time to even get into that. Hast thou given the horse strength? Hast thou clothed his neck with thunder? Canst thou make him afraid as a grasshopper? Think about this. The glory of his nostrils is terrible. He pawed in the valley. He rejoiced in his strength. He goeth on to meet the armed men. He mocked at fear and is not affrighted, neither turneth he back from the sword. The quiver rattleth against him, and the glittering spear and the shield, and he swallowed the ground with fierceness and rage, neither believeth he that it is the sound of the trumpet. He saith among the trumpets, ha ha, he smelleth the battle afar off, the thunder of the captains and the shouting. He's all talking about the bravery, the valiancy of the horse. Going to the battle. Doth the hart fly by thy wisdom, or stretcheth her wings toward the south? Doth the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high? Notice these things. She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock, and the strong place. From thence she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Her young ones also suck up the blood, and were the slain, or there is she. So this eagle here, again, is most likely talking about a vulture. Okay? Well, vulture, because of the last statement. So you can take some time, look at it. So we own Job 40, and we got 40, 41, and 42. We're probably going to take that next week, because I don't want to get even started in it. Because of what is about to talk about. So today, this is what I want to conclude with. We've been in this now on poor in spirit for 3 weeks or so. My prayer is that you see it for yourself. Not so much what I'm telling you. I'm here as a spokesperson, a reminder. I'm delivering a message to you, but at the end of the day, you got to see it for yourself. How are you going to do that? If it's only what you hear today, it's not going to be enough. You got to take some time and say, Lord, have I become poor in spirit? Am I lacking this very important principle in our life? You can always give yourself the correct answer by saying, where have I hung up here? Where's the one that's, it's hard for me. Maybe it's hard for you to be a peacemaker. The pure in heart. Think about all of these things. Where am I having trouble here? And go back. Listen, because you go back doesn't mean that you're not saved. Doesn't mean you're backslid. I can tell you, if you hung up on one of these and you fall, you're on your way to that. But to not go back means you won't listen to God. You just plain won't listen to him. He's trying to help us. If he tells you to go back, is he trying to hurt us? He's trying to get you to see, when you look at me, when you see who I am and what I do in your life every day, I can tell you we won't have a tendency to have a prayer life that's just filled with the things we need. We won't shape ourselves that way, because we recognize the Lord's been good to me. You can take the most impoverished person, the beggar. He doesn't have anything. He doesn't have a house. He doesn't have anything. But he reaches out. You know, the beggar goes and he knocks on the door and he asks for something. And the gentleman says, I'm going to give you this bread. And he takes the bread and he starts eating it right away. Right there in front of the man. He's hungry. And then the next day, the man hears a knock on his door. It's the same beggar. And the man says, what'd you do with the bread I gave you yesterday? What does he say? I ate it. That was enough for yesterday. I'm here for today. That's how we should be to God. Amen. What you gave me yesterday, I ate that all up. I'm back again today. Lord, I'm here. Do you understand? Give us this day our daily bread. That's right. That's what he's looking for. That's a poor in spirit person. You don't become somebody. You don't get out and you're out there. It don't matter how long you've been doing it. When God sees me, he don't want to see me come with a suit and my credentials and all this stuff. He can care less about that stuff. What he wants is, where's the last time you came and you begged me for bread? Here I am, Lord. I realize today I am nothing. I can do nothing without you. I need you every day of my life. Do you understand that? And how do you have constant access to the Most High? There's only one way. Through his only begotten Son. You can't even access. Can I get you to get this? You can't even access the Most High, the Creator. You can't even access him without going through his Son, because that's the only way. In society today, people talk about many ways to. There's not many ways. There's one way. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And remember, let's not forget, nobody can go to the Father. Remember the goal of the Scripture. The whole goal of the Bible is how to get you and I to the Father.
That's right.
How do you get? He said, nobody can go except by me.
Yes.
By me. And let me tell you, I love the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Because of the access he gives me. Into the very throne room of the Most High that you and I can see that we want to be poor in spirit. Who here, when you see the Most High, you wouldn't want to bow down? Bow down and thank him. Well, listen, don't wait until you have that opportunity to see him that day, when we can do it today. That's where we have worship. That's why you get to, you work your own schedule out. Oh, you just don't know my schedule. They got me so busy at work. Man, let me tell you, I can't hardly do anything. Let me just tell you, you work your own schedule. You work your own schedule. Nobody, I don't care what job it is, can tell you when you should pray. You know what makes you want to pray? Poor in spirit. Poor in spirit, you're going to pray. You ain't going to talk about schedules. You got your own schedule. My schedule is I'm going to pray.
Yes.
Remember the story I gave you? Lord, it's been 8 hours or so that I've sinned in deed or action, but now I'm awake. I need you today.
Yes.
Let me tell you, when you're awake, you need him.
Yes.
Before you go to bed, let him do his thing. I read to go read the message of Elihu when you're sleeping, how important that is. Who puts the instruction in your mind and sets everything in order while you're asleep in your slumber? That'd be me. I'm doing that for you. I don't know about you, but it just makes me want to love him more and more and more. More and more, I want to love him because he is so important to our life. So I'm asking you today, take some time. Take this information. Don't just believe what I'm telling you. Don't just take it. Oh, Pastor said it. Don't just believe it. You take it and you look at it. Carefully look at it. You got to trust in it for yourself. When I'm preaching up here, I'm taking this to heart. I got to operate in everything I told you today. I'm responsible for my life, how I live my life for the Lord. And I'm asking you to do the same thing. Because I can tell you, when I look at this, I don't see God's against man. He's for man. He's not trying to hurt us. He's trying to help us. He said, I would that none perish. If you want to know what my will is, I don't want none to perish. But all men will come to know him. From the least to the greatest, it don't make a difference. He wants every person to be saved. Unfortunately, we live in a society that there's also an adversary who says something opposite of God. Which one are you going to believe? The enemy will tell you things like, you don't count. You don't really count. You go to church there, but you don't matter. Listen, do you really honestly believe you need to matter to the church? What if you matter to God? If you matter to God, what else is there? If he's watching you around the clock, what else is there? Who else needs to look after you? Who else needs to tend to you? Let me tell you, that's not a kingdom of God mentality. That's a world system mentality where we always think that somehow we're entitled to something. There's no entitlement in serving God. Do you understand that? There's no, you can't be poor in spirit and have an entitlement spirit. You can't. You can't. Somehow you deserve it. You can't do that. Let me tell you, if God gave us what we would deserve, the only thing we'd all get is death without him forever. Amen. If he did that. But he, know what he did? He had mercy on us. And he said, I'm going to make a way for you. I can't get over my favorite line of Elihu. The preacher Elihu, my favorite line. I have found a ransom for you. I found a ransom for you. And I'm so thankful he did. So my prayer is that that'll be a ministry to you all its own that'll help you. Let's stand together.